Let us read from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we shall read verses 1 to 8. Let us hear the word of God. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Amen. This is God's word. I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the passage which we just read a few moments ago from Deuteronomy, chapter 51. And we read the first 8 verses, these opening verses of Deuteronomy 31. As all the members and friends of the congregation know, this is the evening of the last Lord's Day as your appointed minister of the congregation for me. And I feel rather like Moses. I don't feel like Moses in every way. He says, I am 120 years today. Well, I'm well past half that, but still a long way to go. He says, I am no longer able to go out and come in. Well, there's a lot I can't do, but I can still go out and come in reasonably well. He says in verse 2, the Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord has not said this to my wife and me. As we grow older, this is one of our greatest hopes into the promised land. And in these days, the Lord closes this land from none of his people. Moses will have no more ministry. His ministry's ending. And Lorna and I hope and pray that God will give us continued ministry, a wonderful new period of ministry in our earthly lives. Moses is about to die in a very short time. None of us know when we will die. But for us, as David prayed, a longer time on earth appeals to us still. And yet, there are similarities here between Moses and myself. He is the leader of the people. And I've been the leader of the people. He's been the leader for 40 years. Well, I've just been 37 years of this people. But reasonably close. He's going to be removed as their leader. And on Friday evening, I will be removed as your leader. And he's going to be replaced by a good new leader. In Moses' case, Joshua. In my case, only God as yet knows. But I believe and pray a good new leader. Moses loves these people, and I love you. And Moses has been loved by many of these people, and so have I. And Moses wants to prepare them and help them for the future. He speaks his text to the whole people in verse 6, and then the same text essentially to Joshua in verse 8, and it's this text in verse 8 that I'd like us to look at this evening. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be discouraged. This is the text for our consideration this evening. And I want to share with you briefly four aspects of the text of the Lord as they're shown in the four phrases of the text. First of all, the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose. It is the Lord who goes before you. It is the Lord who goes before you. My friends, the future is unknown to us. Almost completely unknown. But it is not only known by the Lord, but it has been planned and arranged and set up by the Lord before this world was even created. He knows the future. He planned the future. Israel is here facing a great change in their lives. There's a new country before them. What's going to happen to them? They have no idea. But God knows everything. For he has planned everything. And he will lead them into what he has already arranged. He is the one who leads them and directs them and goes before them. And we know from the Old Testament that sadly they won't always follow him. Many times they will turn away from him. They'll need to be chastened and brought down and repent and be restored. But the Lord has arranged the path, and ultimately it will be achieved. The future is not uncertain, confused, heartbreaking, or purposeless. It is the Lord who will go before you. The Lord's purpose for us. What will happen to this congregation here in the next year? Or the next 10 years? None of us knows. But the Lord knows. He has already decided. It may be very good. I hope it will be. It might be not so good. It might be a bit of a mixture. But the Lord has planned. He has been, as it were, in the future, which hasn't happened yet for us. It is the Lord who goes before you. And if we remember that, and if we act on that, our future In spite of our mistakes and sorrow and challenges, our future in Christ will be good indeed. Dear friends, this is true also for the individual lives of His people. For each one of us, you're a Christian, you hear God's word tonight, it is the Lord who goes before you. We know almost nothing, but He knows all about the future for each one of us. Everything that's going to happen. And in a sense, He's there already. So that our lives are planned and definite, wonderfully purposeful. It's not a mess. It's not a disaster. It's not a tragedy. It is the Lord who goes before you. The Lord's purpose. And that leads us closely into the second idea. The Lord's presence. The Lord's presence. What does the next phrase say? He will be with you. He will be with you. It's not just that the Lord has gone before us and planned the future of His people. Then He goes away somewhere and leaves us to coping with it. He plans it and then He vanishes. No, no. He will be with them there. Always. Accompanying them step by step. He will be with you. The Lord goes before you, and also He will be with you. He's ahead of you, and He's present with you. He's planning the way, and He's walking the way with you. Not only that He has arranged a good plan, but that He walks with them, providing them with His constant presence. And how much more that adds to our hope and our joy, that not only has our dear God planned our futures, but that He live with us in our futures, and go with us in our futures, and accompany us in our futures. Israel is discouraged at losing Moses, their leader. They think of all that he had done for them as a leader throughout 40 years. Although it's reasonably encouraging to me when I realize that Moses also made some serious and foolish mistakes. But a great leader. And now the leader was going. What were they going to do now? We're going to lose our leader. They still had all the elders around them. They thought the elders were okay. But they were nowhere near as good as Moses. And they knew Joshua would be coming. But they didn't know much about Joshua yet. Didn't know whether he was any good. And Joshua himself wasn't too sure. Not too sure of his ability. He was worrying. Moses says to them, listen. Here's the great thing. Which rises over all your worries. You're losing Moses. Joshua hasn't qualified himself yet. You're not sure of it. He will be with you. He will be with you. That's the important thing. That's far more important than any human leader. God will be with you. The Lord, the Father, the Heavenly One, the Savior. He will be with you. Now, how would this work? How would God be with them? What do you think about that? Would He be seen in the sky? You look up and say, oh, there He is. God's with us. But sometimes He was. but not very often. Would it be in the Ark of the Covenant? Could you walk down through the tents and see the Ark and say, well, that's the Lord's place, that's the Lord's presence, He is with us. That's true. But it was a lot more than that. Was it God in each person's heart, so that I could look into my heart and say, God is with me? Yes, that was true, but that wasn't enough either. Would the Ark, or my present feelings, would that give me the promised land? How is God with me to give me the promised land? He's with you by means of all the others, your brothers and sisters in the nation. Almost everyone, He's in them. And because He's in them, and they're with you, He's with you. In their minds, in their hearts, in their bodies, in their skill, in their strength, in their courage. So that when they fight and win, it's God who's doing it, and He's doing it in them. You see? Remember what we read in verse 3. He will destroy these nations before you. God's going to destroy the nations. What does that mean? Does that mean as they walk up towards a nation, all the nation falls down dead? And they say, oh good, God has destroyed them. Is that what He means? No. He does it through you. That's how God works. That's how God acts. Through His people. In His people. By His people. You see it again in verse 4. The Lord will do to them as He did to Sihon and Og. And He'll do it in His own people and by His people. Think of this, friends. He will be with you, the phrase says. Yes, He will be if you're a Christian, in your mind, in your heart, and your soul, and that is great. But He will be with you also in your brothers and in your sisters. That's how He's with you. And you could look around now in this building, in this meeting, at the people around you, beside you, and in front of you, and behind you, and over on the other side. God will be with you. He'll be with you in these people. He'll be with you in these people. That's what it means to be in a church. That's what it means to be surrounded by Christians. If you've them as your friends, Christ in them is also with you. And every time you come to this building, the service may be a brilliant one, or it may be pretty average, but one thing's true. He will be with you. That's what I want you to lay up in your hearts. Christ will be with me. Christ will be with us as a people. My dear friends, don't build everything on the people you know and the people you love. Because you will come to the time when you will have to say goodbye to some of them. You'll miss some of them. They'll be taken from this earth, and you won't have them here anymore. That happens to us all. But the Lord, whom we loved in them, that Lord is still with us in other people. He hasn't gone away. He hasn't left us. And also, if they have been taken from earth, we'll meet them again forever, one day. What could be more important for me to say as I leave the church? I put leave in commas. Leave in a certain way. He will be with you. He will be with you. That brings us, thirdly, to the Lord's protection. The Lord's protection. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now, probably most of us have had that experience. Probably most of us have had in our lives people who were with us and later on they left us. We thought they were our friends, and in time we found out they weren't our friends. We thought they loved us. We thought they would support us. But time came and we learned, sadly, that that wasn't the case. And it happens. It happens in churches, in families, in places of work, in our friendships. And we're at times severely disappointed. Sometimes it's our fault. Perhaps that's what is meant in the words, He will leave you. He's disappointed in you. He's discouraged. He's irritated. Or maybe it's His fault. He will forsake you. He breaks His promises. He loses interest with you. She no longer wants to be with you. They're interested in something else, someone else. Interested in themselves. And we're rejected or forsaken. And sometimes we're left feeling hurt or needy. But here, here, here is the perfect friend. Here is the God who never, never leaves His people. Never abandons them. Never fails them. It will never be His fault to forsake you. He's committed to His people for all eternity. And as you read your Old Testament, you see how Israel as a nation often fails God and grieves His Spirit. But ultimately, He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. In a short time, God will repeat to Joshua what He had promised to Moses. Joshua 1:5, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. My dear friends, take that word into your hearts and hold on to it as individuals and as a church. God says to you, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Throughout the long mixed history of Israel, we see God's wonderful blessing again and again. People do leave us. Bad people, good people. Sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes it's even saddening. At present, Lorna and I have been facing the sense of leaving you, in a sense. It's mixed feelings for us. But we hope we don't have to leave you. And in any case, God says to us, I will not leave you or forsake you. He says it to me and to you and all the congregation. God says, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. And to each of us, friends, these words come regarding every need and every circumstance in our lives, no matter what they are, no matter the pain, no matter the sorrow, no matter the difficulty, no matter the fear, no matter the discouragement, God says, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And that will be true again and again and again, until at last in heaven those words will come to us with their fullest, most glorious meaning. I will not leave you or forsake you. And that reality will be true forever. The Lord's purpose, the Lord's presence, the Lord's protection, and then lastly, quite briefly, the Lord's persuasion. The Lord's persuasion. Do not fear or be dismayed. Do not fear or be dismayed. The Israelites were afraid as they looked at the great promised land, the mighty nations, the armies, the power, the wickedness of them all. They had to face these huge, hard wars in a new land. It was terrifying. They feared. They were dismayed. Remember what the text has said. The Lord goes before you. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Why should you fear? If you believe this, if you hold this to yourselves, there's no reason for fear or dismay. He puts it positively in verse 6, turns it round, if you like, the other way. He doesn't say, do not fear or be dismayed. He says, be strong and courageous. And so they were. And in God's time and by God's help, they won battles. But as Christians, from time to time, we can all fear. In our own hearts and in our minds. We can be afraid about our lives in the world. We can be afraid about the prosperity of the church. From time to time we can be dismayed about ourselves, about our friends, about the church, about the world. But because of the Lord and all that He is for us and does for us, we should never fear, never be dismayed. Indeed, says God, be strong and courageous. And as your retiring pastor, I say that to you as my congregation this evening, as you look forward, be strong and courageous. Pray that God will fill your hearts with that. Let that be continually, as it's been in the past, a characteristic of Trinity congregation. Not damaged by fear, but strength and courage. And that's what's needed of God's people. And God will visibly bless you. I want to say to you that this has been true many times in the last 37 years. Since the time when we came, and there was a tiny, tiny little group. In theory, there were 26 or 27 members, but not as many as those coming to church. And many people in other parts of our denomination were recommending Trinity Street to close and stop altogether. And those people go to some of the other churches in Belfast, our other churches in Belfast. And by God's help, those people were strong and courageous. And a few of them are still here, still among us. As they went forward, they did not fear. And they weren't dismayed. And God honored them and blessed them. And He still will. And I pray that this may be your commitment. We read in the next book, in the Bible that God was going to say something to Moses' successor. I don't know yet who my successor may be, but I do pray that God will say the same to my successor and to you all. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. I'd ask you in a moment to stand. We'll all stand and pray, and I'll pronounce the benediction. And after that, I'd like you to sit down for a moment. There's something I want to say to you, and then we'll close with a psalm. Let us pray. Let us stand. O Lord our God, how we thank you for this portion of Scripture that you've given us and helped us to think about this evening. It is the Lord who goes before us. How we thank you for that. He will be with us. We thank you for his presence, for every single one of your people here, and in every part of our lives. He will not leave you or forsake you. O God, we praise you. We deserve to be left. We deserve sometimes to be forsaken because of our sin. But you never will. You will hold to us always. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. Fill us, O God. Fill us as we look towards the future in this church. Fill us with new strength and courage and hope and faith in you. Send to the people, we pray, a glorious leader, a man whom you will use and bless in ways such as we have never seen before. That you will extend your kingdom with these people and use them greatly for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.